Sellers. This is Ron Stefanski from Disrupt Ed, and we are Disrupted in the D, and we have Absolutely. Dr. Caesar back. We have Dr. Caesar back. Drum roll.
Absolutely. Oh, you got to get a drum set, Ron.
I know. I got to get my drums going here. I've got a snare drum downstairs. I have to bring it up next time.
Dr. Caesar
has been away and traveling the country. He's been in Dayton, Ohio, most recently working on saving the school district there, working with a very visionary new superintendent, David Lawrence, there. But, Caesar, talk to me a little bit about where you've been and what you've been up to.
Well, Ron, if you really want to know, I'm not saving Dayton, but I'm working with David, who is a phenomenal superintendent, Dr. Lawrence. But you know what I've been doing, man? I have been substitute teaching that I'm going to talk about, but I've been substitute teaching, you know, in this region around Detroit, you know, charter schools, you know, suburban schools, Detroit schools, just all around. And I'm telling you, I have a wealth of experiences now. You know, I had them before, but I kind of lost touch. You know, now I have a, and it's not a different outlook, but I'm troubled. Let's put it that way.
I know, you're agitated, troubled. I can tell.
Hey, Ron, do you remember when we wrote this piece on educational genocide?
Yes.
So, and I just read another article just recently on one. I'm still reading it, actually. They had a whole thing. It was after you and I wrote our piece. But this is like 2012. It's been a number of articles written on educational genocide around the same concept that we talked about. But I see it up front now. You know, I see it up front, what we're talking about in terms of educational genocide. I was just thinking, man, do you remember, Ron, when we did a presentation in, was it Oakland or it was in California?
California, and we had Rod Pierce there.
Page.
Rod Page there, the Secretary of Education. You know, I'm going to have to take our audience back here. This is Ron Stefanski at Disrupt Ed, and my colleague Dr. Caesar is a nationally recognized expert in alternative education, the word he hates, but the concept is there, and he is a nationally renowned expert in learning loss and closing once and for all the achievement gap. And on today's show, we're going to talk and we're going to thank our folks and friends at MarketScale because they've given us this platform. Because, Caesar, I think it occurs to me that as you've been in the classroom, we have stories to share. And what we want our listeners and viewers to hear is how you use the power of your platform to share those important stories that can make a difference.
Ron, let me give you just a quick little example. So I was in a classroom probably about 3 or 4 months ago. And, you know, I try to dress halfway decent, right? And so this young man, you know, African-American, young man came and said, "Are you a pimp?"
And I said,
he did ask me that if I was a pimp. I've also been called a preacher, right? But I thought that this was the only young man that called, asked me, was I a pimp? And he was serious. It wasn't any, you know. But I thought about it for a minute, you know, and what I thought about is that this young man and many of the other ones, you know, haven't seen a lot of Black educators, you know, and so their first, and who they have seen, though, are people in the neighborhood and so forth, you know, drug dealers and stuff like that. So I didn't get mad at them, you know, I just talked to them, you know, what kind of degrees I had and stuff like that. But it just shows reflection of our young people sometimes and the way they're thinking. You know, and that's why so education is just so important for us to give them a different worldview, you know, instead of saying, you know, are you a pimp? No, you know, but it was interesting. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Ron. Go ahead.
No, I'll tell you what, to our listeners and viewers, you're going to see this man interrupt me all the time. He is crazy. When he has an idea that he needs to get out, you better just watch out, move aside.
I'm gonna stop saying sorry then, Ron.
Yes, exactly. You just keep doing it because I've been with you now 25 years. No, going on 30.
I said almost 30, Ron.
Almost 30, almost and I've 30. Never been able to. I've never been able to stop you from interrupting me. So I have long.
You can go yourself, Ron. Pretty good too. Now, don't just.
I,
don't
I, just I, say, I just that don't is absolutely a fact. That's a fact. I agree with that. Well, listen, here's the thing. You know, on today's live episode, for those of you joining us, we wanted to talk about storytelling and the importance of storytelling for the causes you care about. And I will tell you this, working with MarketScale, working with their marketing team, working on this platform has given Caesar, Dr. Caesar and I, a huge platform. We have over 25,000 people around the globe following us now. And weekly, we have over 20,000 people tuning into the content and the stories we share and provide out there. And it's only growing because I think, you know what, Dr. Caesar, I think the reason why our audience is growing is because people are tired of being tired. And I think
and you know what?
Raise a flag about is we have got to stop talking about something that we have the power to fix and we're not fixing.
And you know, a good example is this pandemic stuff. Do you see how they garnered hundreds and thousands of resources to mitigate the achievement gap, the pandemic loss, learning loss, you know? And I mean, it was because, I mean, it's always been for people of color, Native Americans, African Americans, Hispanic, they've always had a learning loss. But then when middle class, white, and some brown kids started losing, then they garnered all kind of resources, right, to put in the classroom so they could make that up. You know, if they can do that, then they should be able to do what we need now. So I'm in total agreement with you, Ron.
At some point,
we got to say enough is enough.
I agree.
You know, and we need to stop talking about it. Look at what happened in Germany and Japan, you know, where they totally obliterated the country and they got the Marshall Plan, you know, and rebuilt it. And now they're ahead of us, you know, and that's okay. You know, but it should be something similar applied in this country.
That's right. We need the Marshall Plan, as in, you know, Justice Thurgood Marshall, someone who said in Brown versus Education 1954 that we're going to have equal education under the law.
Right.
And we're not even close to that now. I agree with you on this score.
Yeah, not even a little bit. And what's so sad for me, man, having, you know, actually gone around, and educators have been fine. And it's not, the educators are really dedicated. And, you know, we used to always say, Ron, that no educator wakes up in the morning and see how many kids they want to screw up, right? I'll use a better language this time. But nobody, none of them do that. They have great intentions, you know, but when you have a bad system, I don't care how great your intentions are, you know, you're not going to make it, you know? And so we have these people struggling. You know, I was tired at the end of the day, you know, from dealing with some of the challenges. But I think as we talk about the experiences that I've had, that there is light at the end of the tunnel. But we have to have everybody on the same page, and we need the resources. I mean,
the pandemic level resources
targeted at, you know, disadvantaged communities and Native Americans. You know, in terms of their reservations and their educational systems, we need a full court press on a continuous level.
I completely agree. You know, when I was recently at the Clinton Global Initiative, I had the opportunity to listen to Reverend Bill Barber, who is the head of the Theology and Ethics at Yale. And you know what he said at the Clinton Global Initiative? He said, we have the technology. We have the means to fix this. We have the means to fix poverty. But in this case, we have the means to fix our educational system. What we lack, ultimately, what is it that we lack? It must be a moral consciousness. It must be. We don't have enough people amped up like you are and like you're getting me right now about the fact that we have kids in our city right here in the D that are not getting. They may be graduating, but they are not getting a high quality education that prepares them for the.
Absolutely not. And you know, the sad part, the really sad part of it is, because Barbara is just a dynamic speaker. I just love listening to him, right? But here we have, I submitted a proposal to talk to the Council of Great City Schools to really talk about how we can use AI to accelerate learning. Because the only way this thing is going to happen is that we need to figure out some strategies to accelerate learning. If we go at the pace that we're going now, it's going to take 200 years for our kids to catch up. And I mean, by that time, you know what I was thinking about, Ron, and I meant to tell you this. So back when you and I were working with Detroit Public Schools and all that kind of stuff, you know, there was a huge learning gap then. What I thought about is that what happened to those children? Where are they working now? The ones that either dropped out or graduated at a low reading level, what kind of jobs do we think they have? You know, and my position is that the majority of them, a large, significant majority of them, you know, are in low-level jobs. You know, some went to prison, you know, and so on, because, you know, the average, half of the prisoners are at reading at the third, fourth grade level, you know, over that. You know, so those people have a bad outcome. And that's why it's so important for us to change this dynamic early on to give our kids a chance. Right now, they don't have a chance. I mean, we should have a banner saying save our children, but it's related to education. I remember when that Atlantic thing was going on where kids were being kidnapped a long time ago and all that kind of stuff. We had banners that said, save our children, save our children. Well, that threat was dealt with, but we have a bigger threat now. How do we save our children? I think that's a challenge for all educators, and not just educators, by the way. I keep saying that. It's just not on their back. You know,
it's on all of our backs,
as you've been talking about, Ron.
No, it's on all our backs. And I think for our listening and viewing audience out there, I think it's important that we frame this conversation. This is not about going off about how bad it is. This is about creating a story and creating a storyline and creating a cause that's bigger than all of us that we can get behind, that we can elevate. And we can use the benefit of our platform and the benefit of this platform that we're using with MarketScale to get this message out. Because you know what? Yeah, I think,
absolutely.
Cesar, I think there are a lot of people out there who do want to help and just want to know how. Or
Ron, to that point, they have great strategies too, right? I mean,
yes.
We should be able, they should be able to share those strategies, you know, so that we have this community, you know, of people who are committed to changing this dynamic, and in post-secondary as well. You know, so post-secondary is recreating.
All right, I'm going to interrupt you now. I'm going to interrupt you now because that's why we're going live. We're going to be doing this show every other Tuesday at 12:30 Eastern, 11:30 Central, and we're going to be talking about how to lift our voices, how to share our stories, and how to get the word out there about the things that we're passionate about. And today we're passionate about the state of our educational affairs here in the state of Michigan. And I think what we need, Cesar, to turn our attention to is something, a very practical matter, which is all of our policy makers across the state, 700 of them are up in Mackinac Island this week at the Detroit Regional Chambers Mackinac Policy Conference. So what would you be saying, Cesar? This is my question for you. If we know that we need help to fix our schools, what would you be telling if you were on the porch at the Grand Hotel right now? What would you be telling those folks?
I would tell them they need to trash these useless damn policies. That's what I would be saying, and do some action. You know, when they want to get, it's like the governor said in her campaign thing, the governor of Michigan said, fix the damn roads. Well, they started fixing them, fix the damn system, you know, so that our children can have a chance. Right now, what I've been seeing, now, it's not all bad. I've seen a lot of great schools that had the resources. I've seen a lot of troubled schools that had resources, but other challenges exist. You know, so if you want to fix something, and I would tell them at this conference, if you want to fix something, fix the educational system so our children can have a chance. But they need a chance, man. Right now, many of them just don't have a chance, you know. And if you just walk in and you look at it, you say, oh, this is a horrible system. But they can be fixed. You know, but nobody's worried about it. They are worried about
I think it starts with money, Caesar. You know, I think it starts with money. And I think what I'm very encouraged by is
I don't agree with that.
Well, wait a minute.
I think money is part of the issue, but it's the will to do it.
Correct.
You know, that's the
Here's what I was getting at. Here's what I'm getting at with the money piece, because we've got all these folks in a room and on the porch at Mackinac this week. And the message that they have to have this week is what Garland Gilchrist, our lieutenant governor, and what our governor, Gretchen Whitmer, are talking about is equalizing K-12 funding across school districts. When we first launched Property H to make property tax the mechanism by which we funded schools, we grandfathered a lot of inequity. So schools that were that had high FTEs maintained those FTEs, and other school systems that had low FTEs didn't quite make it. And so now I think their efforts are moving toward equalizing the funding by which we take care of these schools, because without the funding, that's a core. I agree with you that it's not the only thing, but at the start of the day, we have to make sure that our school districts are equally funded. If there's a money shortage, it shouldn't be, oh, our poor schools in the urban areas, well, you're unlucky because you don't have smart people or you don't have effective legislators.
And you know what they do? So I sent out an article to our little group that I had called the Mavericks. So I sent out an article and it talked about in many of these communities, you know, and because of geographical location. So it's not open enrollment in a lot of the really good school districts, right? You know, they will not let you in, you know, and they have great funding and great schools, you know, but you can't get in if you don't live in that geographical area. And they even around the country, this exists. They even arrested some parents, man, who use the address to get their kid into a good school system. They arrested a woman, you know? So, I mean, we have great school systems. How do we replicate those?
Yes. I also think you're right. We've got to talk about parents in this equation, because you and I are both parents and you're a grandparent. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For God's sake, you've got another generation behind you. Now, here's the thing about being parents. We know that it doesn't matter if these are our kids. We need to care about kids and how they're developing and how they're being educated. It doesn't matter that they're not our kids. We're still parents. And here's the thing. You know, when you and I start working together, you were still at DPS. That was over 25 years ago. And one of the things we discovered at that time, one of the things we discovered that led you to talk about educational genocide was the fact that if you were 14 to 17 years of age in the city of Detroit schools, you had a 1 in 4 shot of graduating from high school. But here's the thing. If you were in the adjudicated program, in other words, if you were with, at that time, Maxie Boys Prison, and you were a Class A felon, meaning you had either sexually assaulted or killed someone, remember what the graduation rate? It was in excess of 92%. Okay, when you put those two statistics together, what do you have? You have a generation of 14 to 17-year-old men of color, brown men, who have a statistically higher likelihood of completing school if they're a Class A felon. And that's wrong. You know what? I'm a parent. I don't have kids in the Detroit public schools now. I don't have kids in school. But you know what? That's so wrong on any level. And what we've got to do is take our cause up a notch. Because I'm not convinced that just talking to people who think like us is enough. I think we have to make an appeal to every parent to say, you know what? How would you feel if your kid didn't have a shot? That's all we're asking for, is that every kid has a shot.
And that's what I meant. That's what I meant by a Marshall Plan. What I really meant is that it's a war. It is a war, and we have to win this battle. It's a war to save our children. And we need. And in any war, what happens is that you garner all the resources, and everybody understands what their war is. I'm reading this book, man, called Full Steam Ahead, you know, and it's about developing a mission and vision and stuff. But what one of the main themes in this book is, picture how you want it to be. Get a picture in your mind of how you want this to be, how you want the educational system to be for our children, and fight for that picture. I mean, that's what we have to do. No one has a clear picture. They do in many of the suburban communities.
Absolutely.
They do, you know, and the one, and I've seen excellent systems, man. I've seen really bad systems. But the excellent systems have a picture, and yeah, the resources too. But they know what they want for those children when they leave that school, you know.
So, Caesar, I think this is about using this platform to elevate this discussion around causes we care about. And for this week, the cause we're talking about is lifting up our school districts and lifting up the power of a community to start intervening to make our school districts serve the needs of every student, not just some of the students. So you've been listening to me rant and rave with my dear friend, Dr. Caesar, who I have mixed it up with for over 30 years. And that's we're going to be coming live to you every other Tuesday to talk about these things, because we believe as this community, as this disrupted community continues to grow, that we believe there are more and more of you out there who want to hear how stories about the causes you're passionate about can be lifted. And what we're telling you is we're going to the airwaves. We are building a platform. We are not only having podcasts, but
today we're building a community.
We're building a community.
That's what you're talking about. A community.
That's exactly right.
It's going to make a difference. And even when we talk about these stories, because I love it, Ron, the way you put that. When we talk about these stories, we're going to accumulate them, you know, so that they can be digitally available for other people to take a look at. And we're going to have other superintendents on and other folk on telling what Ron just laid out, telling their story for success, because that's what we want to hear. We want to hear
stories and strategies. And that's what we want this week. We want these stories circulating on that porch this week in Mackinac. We want every educator who gets a chance to tune into this after it's recorded and redistributed. We want them to hear that you have to have the voice of our children in your hearts and in your minds when you're making policy, because we need to lift more of these kids up. And they're all of our children. They're not his kids, your kids. They're everyone's children, and we bear a common responsibility. Dr. Caesar, it is so great to have you back in the house. I will see you in 2 weeks. Any last thoughts for this episode before we sign off?
Yeah, you know, one of the is that I have hope. You know, I guess that's the thing that I have more than anything else. No matter how tired I am or the challenge that I've had that day working with kids, you know, at the end of the day, most of them, all of them really respected me, but I have hope for them, you know, and that's why it hurts my heart to say what's going to happen to these children, you know, but we can make that determination. We can set the path. We can save our children, and not from, you know, some humanitarian perspective, you know, but in a real way. And you mentioned it earlier, Ron, about giving them the skills so that they can be successful, the critical thinking.
Absolutely.
Skills, all those skills. Let me just say one more thing, that, you know, the Council of Great City Schools, I submitted a proposal for us to really talk about this in more detail, using artificial intelligence and integrating it with, you know, educational strategies, because that's the only way we're going to save our children. We have to accelerate their learning at a rapid rate. And using the technology to do that, we can be successful. I have hope.
I have hope too. And you know what? My hope is always lifted when I have you on the stump with me here. So we've taken the show on the road before. We're going to take it out there to our live community of folks among the disrupted community. Join us in a couple of weeks. We're going to come back and we're going to keep this cause going, because we fundamentally believe storytelling, lifting our voices, lifting this platform up is the way to make a difference out there. Thanks for joining us this afternoon, and we will see you in a couple of weeks. Thank you, Dr. Caesar.
Take care. Thank you, Dr. Ron.
I think I